I'm here with Chris Bethea to talk about Flint Hills Pagans in the Manhattan and Kansas Flint Hills area.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, so we'll start out with, is there anything just off from the get-go that you wanted to talk about?
Starting the Flint Hills Pagans was the best thing I ever did.
Okay. Well, we can go from there.
Okay. You want me to just kind of give you the story?
Well, I can start with the questions and we can go to the story, or you can just talk first and then I can pick up any questions that are left from there, however you want to do it.
I'll just give you a quick run through.
Okay.
Basically, 1 year after 9/11, I wanted something positive, and I created the Flint Hills Pagans Yahoo group, and various people I know joined, and we just sort of chatted, and then we suddenly decided we wanted to meet. So we had a little meeting at a little restaurant, and then meetup.com, we were able to sign up on there, and slowly started to grow, and we would meet in the park and have picnics in the park, and then we had, and it was like, well, let's become a nonprofit organization. So did some research and found out it's not that difficult to do in Kansas, so we got a little committee together and then became an actual nonprofit organization. We adopted part of a highway for cleanup. We started that. I don't have the years, the dates in front of me, but we did that a couple years, and we would do open rituals and parties, educational moments, just gatherings and picnics, and basically just brought people together, and we'd have monthly meetings that were open to the public where we would discuss our plans, our hopes. It was very organized. We used the whatever for having, you know,
Robert's Rules of Order.
There we go. We did all that. So, I mean, we were in the process of actually becoming tax exempt and all that stuff, and I had to move for job purposes, and then things after that, I had to travel, and it was difficult, and way, and they started slowing down without me, and then it sort of disappeared for about four years, and then this last year, a young man, his name is Zach, showed up in the area from the military, and now they've got all kinds of stuff going on, and they're doing their own classes, open rituals, and it's basically just revitalized itself. A whole new different crowd of people. I mean, there are maybe one or two of the old people still involved, but it's just new people, same name. It's just came back to life.
Well, so this is located out of Manhattan, Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
How wide of an area does it tend to draw from?
We claimed everything from Wamego to we had people coming from Council Grove, just Fort Riley, of course, Junction City, Ogden. Once in a while, we even had people show up from as far as Salina and even from Kansas City and Topeka in the beginning. So basically we just tried for the Flint Hills because at the time there was really nothing out there. I mean, just filled in a gap to bring people together.
Did you have a lot of people from the military, from Fort Riley, that participated?
There was a few. Definitely was a few. Prior to Flint Hills Pagans, there was a Fort Riley group that had existed. So I was able to bring in some of the people from that because that one was another one that had died. And then There was, a few, not a lot. I mean, we had just a little bit of everybody, students, Fort Riley people, and then people that have lived there forever. Previous covens, just people. The group meetup.com, before they expected money, helped also because people could sign up anonymously and find out things, and there would be pictures and stuff like that, and they were able to find out more information and, I don't know, get a feel of us before they actually would come to an open ritual or just a picnic or a meeting or something.
Has there been a switchover from, you've talked about meetup.com, has the group taken advantage of the new social media sites like MySpace or Facebook or anything like that?
Flint Hills Pagans is on Facebook. I did start it because I still feel an investment for it. But I pretty much let Zach and everybody handle everything. They did purchase a membership to meetup.com, at least briefly. Helped a little bit, but they were growing before they did that. They had already gotten, it's just amazing how many new people just out of the blue suddenly started playing again. And it's fascinating how it just sort of waves, comes and goes in waves. Like there's a lot of people participating, like they're looking for others, and then it kind of drifts. It's just a fascinating thing to watch.
About how many members would you say that the group had at its height?
75 to 100.
And about what, you said it was after September 11th, so that would be after 2001, so it was started...
2002. It was started on 9/11, 2002.
Okay.
This is all documented, I can send you a link, but...
Okay.
Yeah, we have the whole history, the bylaws, everything is still available online that we created for the group.
What year would you say that the membership probably peaked around?
2003, 2004.
Okay. And then it started dropping off and had a lull.
And then I moved here in 2005, and after that it dropped off. And then just this past 6 months is when it started back up again.
Okay. Now, in what other religious organizations have you participated? Names of groups and dates would help, or locations would help, if you can remember them.
Well, I did create the Capital City Pagans. I did that when I moved here. Five. We met for a little while, for about a year or two, and then jobs once again got in the way, and I just kind of became hermity. And then this past year, we've already had another picnic. And we had a small turnout, but there's more people interested, and they said we'll try it again as the weather gets warmer and see how many other people. There's a lot of people in the groups, but they're not all ready to come out.
Okay. What about organizations before the Flint Hills Pagans and
they're
any
really
previous groups?
I was military, and I moved back to Kansas in 2001. Right, 11 tragedies.
Okay.
So.
Why do you think that people were attracted to this group? What was it that drew people in?
People like to be able to be open and free about who they are. I mean, there's so much hidden in society that, especially pagans, that they like having the opportunity to be comfortable, be free, and just enjoy not having to hide. And I think that just was so great that they were able to have a release where they were able to ask questions and able to wear whatever necklaces or earrings or so I think that it just gave them an opportunity to be themselves and learn more.
Was there a lot of need for that sense of community in the Midwest?
Oh, definitely. The Bible Belt, I was amazed at how many pagans there were, at how many people that were pagan or pagan-friendly. Because, I mean, anybody wanted to come. I mean, we did Pagan Pride Day and various things like that. So, I mean, it wasn't just pagans, but we were open to everybody, and there was always questions. and they wanted to learn more, they wanted to understand, they wanted to know if we were demon worshippers, and it's like, no.
So, from your own background, how did you get involved in paganism? Where does your own religion, if you're comfortable talking about that, where does your own religious background come from, and how did you come into paganism, which eventually led you into this kind of group?
I'm a recovering Catholic. I bet you hear that a lot.
I do. I'm one myself.
All the way through confirmation, did all that stuff. Can't say I know the Bible, because I don't really think Catholics are taught the Bible, but I sort of drifted away. I mean, I remember as a kid always asking my mom, why do we have to talk to God in church? Why can't we do it outside? If God is everywhere, I feel more comfortable outside. And I always remembered the moon. I always felt the moon. I don't know how to explain it, but I could always, it was the moon. It was just, I don't know, I just felt drawn towards it. And then in college, I was a journalism student, and I managed in class to get assigned a... and I wrote 6 stories on various religions, various non-traditional religions, from paganism to Wicca to shamanism. I tried to find... Satanists, but I found a few, but they did not want to be, they did not, that was fascinating all by itself, but they didn't know me, and I wasn't part of that community yet. I was still on the outside, but through that, I met Kangra and Ursula. They did my interview for Wicca, and they introduced me to some books. And that's the only way Ursula and I, then after the interviews, I was curious, something felt right, and I started reading and researching, and I was a military spouse, so I went to Germany for 3 years, and did some more reading and researching, and started actually doing my rituals. A spot, a little grove, I don't know how far from my house, but it was just a trail. And I was out in the middle of a field, and I did my first ritual there. And I mean, it's not like the butterflies in the movie, but it was fog. The fog just came out of nowhere, and it just sort of enveloped my area. I could still see the moon, so the fog wasn't over me. And it was just a full moon ritual, and it was totally magical. And it's like I found myself, and it just felt good. I miss that grove, but I'm sure it's been developed by now. But that was my first.
That's out in Germany?
That's in Germany. Oh. Vilseck, Germany, yeah. So, need to travel. Who knows? You can never go back, they say. It's a good memory.
about when was this that you had this... I know many neo-pagans or many pagans don't describe their experience as a conversion. So, they say that they just... There's a tendency.
It's a wake-up call.
Yeah. So what about when was this that you had this awakening or calling back?
I read articles in 96. I started doing rituals, I think, about 98. My first ritual, I think, was in 98.
Okay.
Yeah. And then just after that, it became a way of life. I don't call myself Wiccan anymore. I mean, I used to be like an eclectic Wiccan, but now I'm more... I'm just on a spiritual path. I'm on a journey, a spiritual journey, basically.
Okay. So if we can shift gears back to Flint Hills Pagan.
Sorry.
A little bit. No, that's quite fine, but we can go back to Germany later if you want. How you said the group met monthly.
Mm-hmm.
So were there more regular interactions, like daily or interactions, online or anything like that?
Well, yeah, we chatted online all the time. I mean, we had our regular Flint Hills Pagans group, and then we had the Flint Hills Council group, and our council consisted of 13 people. We had the president, and I was the president, and we had the vice president, secretary. We had the whole thing. And then we had committee heads and committee chairs, and I mean, we did various projects. We helped the community when we could. We did drives. We did fundraisers. We cleaned the highway. I'm still proud of that. But, I mean, that's exhausting work. If you've ever done a highway cleanup, that's exhausting.
For the Boy Scouts long ago.
Yeah. But, I mean, we were trying to make a difference, and I think we really did. Plus, it's just kind of cool driving past that sign that says, this section of the highway cleaned by Flint Hills Pagans.
What would your monthly meetings, how did those tend to progress? Were those always ritual meetings, or were they also
social
meetings?
Well, we would start, we did have two meetings. We would have our council meeting, which we would start with a opening and closing ritual and socializing afterwards. And then we would have our picnics, where we would just get together with everybody and anybody and eat and chat, and they were usually potlucks, and we would have just a good old time. So it was about twice a month. And then, I mean, sometimes there were classes, and then there were other little things going on. I mean, there was a lot of little activities, and activities for kids and stuff like that.
How would you say that your membership and participation in the group affected your private side of the group? How was your behavior or other interactions, social interactions, affected by your participation in the group?
I'm not sure I understand.
Was there anything that you took from participation in the group that had a direct impact on your personal group, or was there even any distinction between inside or being inside or outside of the group?
I mean, I had work and or school, because I was in school most of the time when Flint Hills Pagans was at its peak, and then I had Flint Hills Pagans. I mean, I had my son, but he participated. I mean, he was 3 or 4 or 5 at the time. He was born in 2000, but he didn't really know what was going on at that point. But I really don't think there was a distinction. I mean, I had schoolwork and I had Flint Hills Pagans.
So there wasn't really a separation between this is my life in this group and this is my life outside of this group. It was just, that's just what you did.
That's just me.
Okay. Well, let's see. Would you be willing to talk about some more specific details on some of the rituals or a standard ritual? What exactly was involved?
Well, I mean, basically we just followed regular traditions, mostly the Wiccan ones. We would call corners. We would invite the god and the goddess into the circle. We would build a cone of energy. If we didn't have, I mean, sometimes we had certain things, like if there was somebody sick, or we would have our own personal things that we would use for that cone of energy. Sometimes, like on Earth Day, the cone of energy would go to Mother Earth to heal her. And then we would have the cake, which would usually be some yummy rum, or mead, or rum, but I think it was mostly mead. And then different people would bake various cakes. We tried a variety of them with herbal stuff, and sometimes just, or I mean, it depends on what we had and what the goal was and everything. And then we would have open discussion if there was something somebody was worried about or just wanted to share with the group. We could talk about anything openly. We were inside the protective circle. And then we would thank the god and the god, open the circle. And then we would socialize some more, and some people would go their separate ways. We would always have kids. Kids would come running in and out of the circle. The children can't break circles. They are immune to the protections. I mean, they can't break it like normal you have to cut a door to get in and out as an adult, but kids, and you know, could walk right through it.
How did members of the group interact with other members of the general public? Were there any conflicts or difficulties, or the or issues of dealing with living in the broom closet, as the colloquial, any sorts of problems like that?
There was always different people in different levels of being out of the broom closet. There were some people that were totally in the broom closet and you couldn't take pictures of them or anything else. A lot of times we took pictures, put them on the website and stuff like that. But there are some people like, no. So we would totally respect that. We also had participants in the Pagan Pride Days, which would have some interaction with the general public. There's always differences of opinions, different dreams, different people are different. My goal was always the simple one of bringing people together, and some people had grander schemes than that. And then of course there were people that were just wanting members of a coven, and they were just scoping us out to see who would be good enough to fit in. It's people, like with when you bring any group of people together, you're going to have different conflicts, you're going to have different ideas, different dreams. It's the interactions never got ugly in person. Sometimes online they did, but generally they always had to go through me, and very few people had issue with me. I was a mediator. I don't know. Some people call me naive, and that other people try to live up to my expectations because I believe so strongly in them. I don't know. Yeah. The issue is always with other people for the most part. Mm-hmm. So.
Was there any sort of property owned by the group at any point in time? Like, if there was any sort of a building or land, or maybe even just like a vehicle or anything, was there anything like that at any point in time?
We did do parades, and at one point I donated my deceased van to the group. But we never had anybody that could fix it up. I mean, it stole, but it never actually played out, because we were going to use it for parades and stuff, because after walking in two or three parades, we realized it makes your feet hurt.
what kind of process was there for joining the group?
Showing interest. The Yahoo group. I had it, and still have it, as it's open, but you have to let the moderator know. It's like, hey, just send me an introduction so I know you're not here to spam us. Because that's just, so basically anybody and everybody.
Was there any sort of, to actively recruit new members?
Yeah, we put, like K-State especially, we put flyers out. There's a few stores that let us put flyers on the windows, the Dusty Bookshelf, and some of the places in Aggieville, we would put stuff up.
Okay. Well,
I think somebody put some stuff up at Fort Riley, too.
You indicated that there weren't that many conflicts in there. Were there any ever instances where you had to decline somebody who was interested, or had any difficulties with somebody where you've had to ask them to leave?
We've had potential for that. When that would happen, and I'm sure we probably killed the grass, but we would, if we were having thing, we would salt it. We would salt the circle, we would salt the street, we would salt wherever we were at, and nobody could step through with their negativity. So although the potential was there for people to be upset, it never happened. I mean, we had one person concerned because blah, 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 blah. And then we had other people saying that this person was trying to coerce them into doing something else. That never transpired. The other person never showed up. So everything that had the potential just never really presented themselves.
What kind of relationships did Flint Hills Pagans have with religious organizations in the area? Other pagan groups, non-pagan groups, other Christian groups? How did that group interact with those other groups?
Well, like I said, there's a couple covens that we're scoping out. We had a really good relationship with one. We had a tedious, tentative relationship with another. We watched Jesus Christ Superstar once, and a priest from Fort Riley was supposed to join us but was unable to attend. Sent sincere apologies, and we had a discussion kind of online about the movie and everything, which was fun. Very fascinating, very open-minded patients or anything. Nothing transpired bad from it. It was actually very educational. We didn't really have that much interaction. We didn't have Fred Phelps come and pick at us or anything, but...
Aw, well.
Yeah. Messes with pagan religions because they don't care about his beliefs, so.
He seems to have enough difficulty dealing with people in his own religious category
definitely.
There. So. You indicated there was participation with the children. How exactly were children handled? Were there specific educational programs or activities or youth groups?
Mm-hmm. We had... sometimes there were many rituals, sometimes there was arts and crafts, sometimes they just participated in the main rituals, sometimes they just sort of danced in and out of the circle and just sort of did their own thing. We did have a Wiccaning, which is where a girl is initiated into the circle. I'm unclear on the exact, as I'm not a true Wiccan, I don't know exactly how it works, but it was a beautiful ceremony. The little girl was absolutely adorable, and everybody had fun and took lots of pictures. It's kind of like a baptism. It's kind of the equivalent of a baptism. But, children were always welcome. I mean, there was maybe one or two that Samhain, with the Day of the Dead. I think there was one year that there was two different ones. There was a family friendly, and then there was an adult only levels of dancing with the dead, or however you want to do it. I think it's a dumb feast, actually, I think is what it was, and you can't speak during the whole meal, which is really tough for children to do.
Yeah.
So the children didn't come to that one. And then sometimes Beltane rituals can be a lot more adult-oriented.
Okay. You indicated you have children.
I have a son. He was born in 2000. He's about to turn 10.
Mine just turned 11, so.
Wow.
does he follow your religious path?
I told him that he has his choice. Actually, this has just recently came up. I bought him books about 4 years ago about rituals. I mean, I don't remember the lady's name, but she writes the most beautiful books that explains pagan rituals and beliefs and stuff. And we would read those as a kid, but just recently has he really realized it, and there's been a lot of questions about, what do you believe, Mom? And then, of course, Grandma and Grandpa don't really know all that much. It's kind of probably understood, maybe, but not really talked about. I know my brother, I offered to discuss it with him once. He's like, Chris, I just don't want to know. I'd just be better off not. He is asking a lot of questions. He likes to define himself as a pagan. He has his own little altar that has, oh, like little seeds and acorns that he's found outside and rocks and stuff like that. And
no ritual knives yet?
No. He does have a wand, but not a knife. And the wand, an old friend. But I mean, I'm not going to force it on him. He can make his own choice. I want him to make an educated decision. He's welcome to participate in mine, but he's also goes to church with Grandma and Grandpa, so I don't know. I'm going to let him be who he needs to be.
Any sort of educational programs for adults in the group outside of the regular meetings, and were there any sort of like training programs?
Oh yes.
For getting into
there was there was like tarot classes, and there was a basic ritual herb. Anything that anybody was interested in, if we had somebody to teach it, it was taught and shared. And that was always separate from the regular meetings too.
You indicated that there was a kind of central council that sort of operated the group. What sort of criteria for entry into the council, or how was that number maintained if somebody had to bow out? Were there specific training or?
There was really no training. The original council I chose. That's bad, but hey, I was the founder, so. And basically, the original council was a group that had been with me from the beginning. And then as it grew, and as some people realized, hey, she's serious about this, they had to bow out because it was taking too much of their time and they had other obligations. So in the beginning, we had we went through a lot of people in the council because they didn't realize how it was to me that I took this seriously, and it wasn't just a game. But then we got some good people, various people from the community, and our original core, we came up with the bylaws and all the requirements. We defined everything, and basically to become part, the original council, we didn't have enough members to actually have a voting thing, because it was pretty early in the game. And then after that, the populace had to vote on whether or not they wanted us, a person in the council. And so we had people that got voted in. It was usually by just verbal vote. Nobody was uncomfortable with that. Nobody ever really dissented. So they had to kind of apply or show interest, and then we would kind of talk to them and find out why they're interested in it. And usually by that time we'd know them all anyway, and then we would bring it up at a picnic and have everybody vote, and they'd probably know these people too, and then they were on the council, and they'd start coming to meetings.
What sort of differences were there in social norms and expectations in the meetings versus, quote, mainstream society outside of that? Were there any differences in codes of conduct or dress or even sexual interactions or anything like that?
Well, we did specifically say there was going to be no sex, no drugs, nothing illegal, in any of the public Flint Hills Pagans supported rituals or gatherings or anything. I mean, we were very specific about that. My guides and said, okay, no flaming, which in those days meant no fighting. I don't know if it's still that way on the internet or not, but
I think it still gets around, yeah.
Yeah. basically, I mean, we did have our little rules. I mean, we full out had just pages and pages of information that we developed, and we would say, okay, in public, you can't present Flint Hills in a bad light. If you have a grief about one of the members or the council members, if you are on the council, if you're having problems with another council member, you can't. It doesn't need to be known to the public world. Keep it to yourself. Bring it to my attention. I will help you. The members, just the regular populace members, they had to just be nice to each other. I mean, be nice and be legal. Basically, just society rules.
Now you left because you moved from Manhattan to Topeka because of a job.
Right.
Before that, had you ever considered leaving?
No.
No? It was always pretty much assumed that this was something you were going to do?
Forever, okay. Yeah.
Now you've also indicated that it had a little bit of a slowing down and then it's picked back up again. How do you see this group doing in the future? Having kind of cycles or continuing on? Or?
I see it having cycles, but I think that's the way society pretty much works. I used to be a member of the Society for Creative Anachronism, the Middle Ages group, mm-hmm. and they're in Manhattan, and they've even gone through their cycles. I mean, it's a college town. You get the college influx. You have been there forever and had to stand fast when times slow down. You have the military that goes through the little cycles, too. And then you've got people who go through phases themselves. It's like, okay, it's hermit time. I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to see anybody. It's just time for me. It's time for me to do soul searching, for me to learn about myself as opposed to doing social things. And I think all that put together makes things go through more cycles. Which I kind of have gone through that myself after the Flint Hills Pagans slowed down and Capital City Pagans kind of did too. I just kind of went through that myself. It's like, okay, it's time to, I feel like I'm changing. After changing, what I'm supposed to do is changing. I need to figure that out before I can start getting back into society and bringing people together again.
What were some of the best or some of the worst things that you remember about being in the group?
The best was just the people, the feeling, all these people I met, all the people from so many different walks of life, with so many different stories, with so many expectations, and just so much to give, and so much to share, and so much to learn. It gave me a high. I mean, it was absolutely amazing. Even just can't even put into words. It's just the feeling of community, the feeling of just that community feeling. I mean, when you realize you're not alone anymore, that you don't have to be alone, that there's other people that are not going to judge you for what you believe, for what you feel, it is a total and utter so many society created bonds binding you and everything. It's just amazing. I think the highway cleanup was one of my favorite parts, and just seeing the Flint Hills Pagans on the sign is just kind of cool, you know. And newspaper articles and just people asking questions and just that light going off in some people's eyes, like, oh, so you don't worship demons and stuff like that. It was just great. Low points was, there's always going to be somebody that wants something different. There's always going to be, has a different dream and thinks that you're getting in the way of their dream. And sometimes you just got to move past that, agree to disagree, and move on. But you've got so many personalities that there's bound to be personality clashes. You do that and continue on your way. But sometimes people just get upset and there's nothing you can do about it. So the low point, I think, was when you just reached that point and somebody just was too hurt or too angry to try anymore. And that would be the part that
Do you still keep in contact with a lot of people from the group?
Oh, yes, definitely. Almost all of them. Almost all of them. We've had... There's going to be a wedding, a hand fasting coming up for a couple of the original council members that still lives there. There's a couple more that's moving away, following some more dreams. There are people that are going through life changes. There are people that have gotten better. There's people that have left and actually came back. There are people that have disappeared. And there are people that are in contact with me and planning and coming back and just so excited Tinsley's still going. And it's just absolutely wonderful group of people that have touched my lives, and I don't think I'll ever let them go.
You already indicated a website. Would we be allowed to link to that?
www.flinthillspagans.org.
And would you be willing to share any other documents that you have? You indicated newspaper stories.
They should all be on the website.
Okay.
I believe even the minutes to the meetings are still available.
Okay. All right. And anything else you want to share? Any anecdotes or funny, memorable people or anything?
The whole thing was really memorable. Yeah, it was just magical.
Okay. Do you know of any other religious groups whose stories you think forward? Or any other people that we should interview?
The Fort Riley group before me, before Flint Hills Pagans, might be something. I can check with the young man who was participating in that.
Okay.
But that's pretty much, I mean, you know about all the ones in this area.
I've made efforts to contact Web of Oz and some of the other ones, so.
Yeah, Web of Oz and Dragonshire.
Okay.
Good people. This is for the whole state of Kansas, right?
Yep.
There is also Smoky Valley Pagans. It is also defunct. That we might be able to find somebody. And then there's also the Salina Pagans in the Park, which has died off, but they're starting to knit something different now. And there's a group down by Pittsburgh, Kansas. And I believe a couple people tried something in Hayes, but I don't know if that one ever panned out or not. But also on Facebook is a Pagans of Kansas that is drawing in people from all over the state, which might be a good resource for you.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. Anything else you wanted to close off with? Last minute thoughts?
Nope. But I like having this documented.
Certainly. And if you know anyone else who's participated in the group that might be interested in talking, we can arrange something else too.
Okay. I'll check and see.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your time and for sharing your stories with us.
Thank you.